Boo. That's your wow. start right there.
We've been graded. That boo has been graded at a 6.3.
That's a decent boo.
That's not a bad boo. So
what's up, everybody?
Yo.
John and Brian.
Back again. Trying to keep this thing alive. Alive.
Don't you die on me, podcast. Don't you die.
God damn it, podcast. Clear. Clear. So I actually just watched, I was rewatching Scrubs and like from the beginning, because I've watched enough stuff on Netflix and I'm just like, meh, I'm done. Like, I don't really have anything else to watch. So I'm rewatching Scrubs from the beginning because a friend of mine was like, I heard they're trying to have Netflix reboot it. And I was like, no way. So I'm watching it, and the very first episode, there's a scene where Turk goes, like, he answers his first call, and he goes, and it's, like, supposedly somebody who died is having a heart attack or something. So he's like, Claire! And he shocks him, and he just sits up, and he's, like, screaming because he was just passed out.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So, all right, so we got some cool events coming up. Actually, we just had some, well, we had a PPTQ here last weekend at the Mills.
Right.
Not bad, like 16-ish people, I think.
Around
so, did well. Thanks for everybody who came out, if you did, or stopped by. All right. So this week, we have something really cool. This week is the Mills anniversary sale, which means free cake.
Always with the free cake.
Dude. I told Todd, like, he's like, where are you going to be this weekend? Blah, 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 blah. Like, trying to figure out, you know, if we can meet up for a convention meeting. And I'm like, I'm going to be at the Mills on Saturday. He's like, why are you going to the Mills on Saturday? Like, free cake. He's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, not for the sales, for the free cake.
Right.
So that has become my pitch when people ask about, like, the anniversary sale. I'm like, oh, no, there's free cake. Like, don't even worry about the sales. Just come for the cake. So Ryan's going to buy the cake today. Well, he's going to go pick out the cake today, but six years exactly on the opening day, April 1st or August or April, yeah, April 1st, April Fool's Day. I'm trying to talk Chip into coming out and hanging out since he was the one who rang the first register transaction.
Right.
That'd be kind of cool. But we do have some door prizes going on all day. We're going to give away free stuff every hour. You got to follow the Mill Store on Facebook. To do that, we're also going to do 10% off toys, games, graphic novels, and statues, 20% off all of our Silver Age, and 50% off all of our dollar books, and then again, free cake. So come on out and hang out. It's a good time. If nothing else, like, just come out and give us some high fives. We love it.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. So the following week, actually, sorry, now through the anniversary sale, and the following day, the 2nd, if you're on our Facebook page, you can actually win something super freaking cool. And I couldn't believe that I got this to work.
Yeah.
So you can win a $50 gift card, 2 tickets to the Killthrax tour, which is Anthrax and Killswitch Engage with Devil Wears Prada and Josta.
Nice.
And on top of that, you get to win a 1 hour one-on-one with Scott Ian from Anthrax to talk comics and shop in the store.
Pretty sweet.
That is freaking awesome. Like, not even joking, like, 15-year-old me was like, oh my God, please let this work, because, like, I just want to make that day for that other 15-year-old kid somewhere out there that, right, like, likes the band. And I pitched it to Scott. He said, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it's actually going to work in your schedule. This is great. So he is going to be real cool. He's going to be out hanging out. Scott's a great guy. But the way to enter is you have to like or share that specific post. It is pinned to the top of our Facebook feed. So go to facebook.com/ndcpittmills, and it's right there. Mm-hmm. Or just go to our ndcomics.com website and go to the Pittsburgh Mills page. It'll be on the right. You can just click like. It'll kick you to the page. Like it. Share it. Tag some friends in it. You know. And hopefully we make some awesomely heavy metal nerds dream come true.
That's cool.
Like I said, man, like, this is something like I would have like been like hopped on immediately. But I'm going to the show that night anyway. So It's going to be cool. It's a lot of fun. I don't know if you've ever been to a metal show, let alone an Anthrax show.
No.
But they're co-headlining with Killswitch Engage, and they're a good time, man. Like,
I always love that name, Killswitch
Engage. Yeah, right.
I always make up this big, like, reason, like, wait, use it as a phrase.
Starships.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, but
Killswitch,
like,
Engage!
Exactly, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, we've got no other options. We can't. We have to. Kill switch. Engage.
Right.
Kill switch. Yep. Yeah. You know, it's like the Death Blossom. Or something. It's like, activate the kill switch mode.
Right. That's such a cool thing, though. And then also we're doing another giveaway for another concert. This concert's in May. It's actually 2 days before the show, before the Three Rivers Comic Con. And it's for Coheed and Cambria with Deer Hunter. Mm-hmm. The way to enter that is you go into Pittsburgh Mills, Century 3, or Cranberry. You make any purchase. You put your name in the hat.
Right.
There's a little box on the thing. The week before the show, we're going to draw two winners that are going to win two tickets each total.
Nice.
Not two tickets per pack per store. Mm-hmm. Four total tickets, two names out of three stores' pools.
Okay, right.
So the rules, the only rule is you can't enter twice on the same day.
Okay.
So that said, the loophole is, you can't enter twice the same day in the same store.
Right.
Hit so all three stores. If you want to hit all three stores every day until you win that thing, go for it.
Right.
But they're also a great band. Claudio's a huge nerd.
Camera's pretty cool.
The new Amory Wars book's coming out next month, I think in like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, sweet. There you go.
I'm pretty excited for it.
Tie-in.
Yep, tie-in. Plug. But I'm really excited for it. He wrote it with Chandra, his wife, this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his wife's name's Chandra. How about that? How nerdy is that, right? And then, obviously, we have Free Comic Book Day coming up. A little more information on that in the next couple weeks. Mostly, like, not a ton of sales. Just kind of some general stuff, mostly comic-oriented. And we might, like, there's a possibility we might be opening early, maybe, but we'll see. Anyway, good times. Hi, by all. Free Comic Day is a blast.
Yeah.
So come on out. And if you're an artist and you want to come out and set up on that day anywhere in any of our stores, you let me know. I'll hook you up. John Engel at ndecomics.com. JonEngel at ndecomics.com. And then, obviously, Three Rivers Comic Con is coming up, as well as Kennywood Comic Con. So we have a very small, cool, not really a small, cool announcement, a pretty large, cool announcement.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty big announcement.
So we will officially, I just got off the phone with them earlier today, we will officially have signature verification and submission at Three Rivers Comic Con through the CGC.
Yep.
So
that's grading your comics, folks.
Right. So that means one dude is going to be pulled around the room to verify and witness someone signing that book.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably going to get to know Mark Waid very well. But it's going to be a great time. Make sure you guys come out and hang out. We're still planning the panels. We're working on a couple other things. The floor. We've expanded the floor, so we have like 100. We'll have over 120 artists this year.
Fantastic.
That's, yeah. That's now, if everybody could send me their pick and bio, that'd be great. But no, apparently not. it's just, come on, guys. But that's pretty much it on the events end. So let's talk some comics.
Jump to it.
Yep. You can go first.
Oh, cool. All right. So first one is Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows number 5.
Surprise.
Yeah. What,
said
with
no
a
one.
So the writer is Jerry Conway. Artist is Nathan Stockman.
Mm-hmm.
Art, as always, is really good. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to like this one more. Because it's not exactly, obviously it's not Mayday, Daughter of Spider-Man. This one's called Anna May after Mary Jane's aunt.
Right.
But it's still fun because it branches off from the Renew Your Vows mini that was in Secret Wars, and it continues on with that. So the siphoning power that Regent used to siphon all the superhero powers once he captured them, Peter adapts so that Mary Jane can siphon his powers so that she can have powers like when she wants.
Right.
So that they actually go they basically try and fight crime together, and as a family. And of course, Anna May is like all about it. She's like been
right.
suppressing her powers the whole time, so she's like loving it. She wants to go out and kick a butt, and they're like, no, no, no. You only do it when we're around. You know, Peter like helped design her costume, and it's all like total like helmet and like padding and stuff. Like yeah. a kid for hockey, it's like it's hilarious. And even Mary Jane's like, you're the one that made the armor. You know, like, so this particular issue picks up where, you know, it shows how much of a typical kid Anna May is. So she's, although she's literally bouncing around the room and bouncing off the ceiling and stuff, she's right. like, yay, it's Tuesday, it's family fun night. And Mary Jane and Peter are like dead on the couch, and they're like, what? No, you know, can we just, she's like, no, remember you guys said that Tuesday is always going to be our family fun night. Remember you said that you did. And they look at each other, and like, Peter's like, we did. And Mary Jane's like, we said that. She drags Crap. Them to like a Chuck E. Cheese style restaurant.
Right.
And coincidentally, Sandman and some thugs are going to rob the bank right next to the,
what?
the thing.
That is so crazy.
Right. So they're there with another friend and her little son, and they're just like doing typical family jokes and stuff about how the music's lame and blah, blah, blah. But they're happy that the kids are having fun. And Sandman is like trying to bust into the bank next door, and he doesn't realize he's being manipulated just because like because he's dumb and he doesn't pay attention.
Right.
Like there's one of the operatives that's helping him is supposed to steal something very specific out of there where he thinks it's just a bank job.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, they've upgraded Anna May's power, so her spider sense has evolved past danger sense to actual precognition.
Holy crap.
So she actually gets flashes of things that are going to happen as a warning.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And that's kind of what started the first run, because she saw her mom and dad fighting the mole man before they did it. And she right. went there thinking that they were in trouble already, and that kind of like triggered it all. So they're playing, her and the little boy are playing in like one of the giant tube things that you can crawl around through.
Oh,
and
nice.
She gets a flash of Spider-Man beating the guys up in the bank. So she like grabs the kid and races back. And it's like, Mom, Dad, you know, I had one of my things. You know, something's right. going on next door. And so like he pull her aside. And what I like is because they treat her like she's not a stupid kid. Like
right.
they, you know, they start with like, I think you're just, weren't you imagining it? You know, and then she's like, I'm not lying. You know, I saw it in my head. And then Peter's like, well, won't hurt to check. You know, so they're taking her
right,
seriously.
Right, right, right.
And then, yeah, so then there's, like, some cool fights and stuff. And then, you know, Spider-Man kicks the crap out of the guys pretty easy. And then Sandman shows up. And it's not that big a deal. But then, you know, the other... Then, of course, Mary Jane and the daughter come swinging in.
Right.
You know, and so Mary Jane goes by Spinneret. And the little kid goes by Spiderling. And that was a Peter. That was he named.
That's kind of cool.
And it was that was like one of the other issues, and it was pretty funny because he's like Spiderling. What should I call myself? Like, you know, Spider or something. And it's like I just said, you're Spiderling. No, but I want something cool. Blah, blah, blah. Like, well, you don't have to do it at all. I like Spiderling. You know, so
That's
they
funny.
Do some fun like team ups because it's like he tells them all to like unload with their webbing,
mm-hmm.
and they just completely engulf him in webbing,
Jeez.
And he's so tight he can't. Do any shapes and get out of it.
Oh, wow.
And I think Mary Jane's like, I don't remember you ever doing that before. And he's like, well, I never had that many hands before. <You know? laughs> So it's like...
Right.
And then the weird thing is, which I'm not sure how to... It's kind of interesting. Little Normie, so the yeah. grandson of Norman Osborn,
mm-hmm.
is clearly evil, and he's somehow running the entire company in this dimension.
Holy crap. Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
So I want to know if that's the Normie that was in... The end of, I think it was the Gauntlet run. Do you remember that?
Not really.
Like where he was a baby and like Harry was trying, or it was at the end of American Son, I think maybe.
Okay.
Like where Harry was like the superhero dude and then he was just trying to protect his kid. And like at the end, they're at like a costume party and he's walking around. I forget what he's dressed as, but Normie's like stuck. On, like he has him in, like in the front face thing, and he has like a Dr. Octopus arms and shit on him. It was awesome.
<That's>
I was like, oh yeah. Anyway, I'm wondering if it's the same Normie.
Because
that'd be a cool.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, and the funny thing is, like Normie's kind of infatuated with Spiderling, like because it's like, who's that little girl? Because they're like roughly
right.
the same age. So it's but he's totally evil and he's totally out to get Spider-Man. So it's like, eh.
That's pretty
it has,
cool.
It's a fun book, but it's not. It's just getting not away there from where it needs to be. It's like it needs to be.
Are you looking forward to the Spectacular Spider-Man by Chip Zdarsky now?
I have not heard about that one.
Pretty excited about that. At least I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
All right, my first book is The Hulk. Yeah, by Mariko Tamaki and Nicole Leon. So I really want to like this book. Really, really want to. I like the art. I think it fits the story. I think the writing is good, but I think the story is dumb. I'm like, okay, so how much more do we have to wait before she actually turns into the Hulk? Because we're in issue 4. She has not hulked out yet. She's getting to the bottom of whatever this crazy thing is with her client, but we don't really know when or if she will actually hulk out. She talks about how, like, being beat up. She talks about, you know, almost dying and stuff like that and having PTSD, which is all great. Great storytelling. Mm-hmm. Where's the Hulk part?
Yes.
That's, I'll be honest, like, I like She-Hulk a lot. Like, a lot. I've loved her through Peter David, through Dan Slott. I just want her to hulk out and do Hulk things because she's a Hulk.
And that's the name of the book.
And it's the name of the book. And every single freaking cover is a tease.
Awesome. Yes.
And is awesome. But I just want her to Hulk out. Just do something Hulky. I don't care. Break something. rip your clothes to, like, awkwardly positioned yet shredded in other areas. Mm. I don't care. Just Hulkish stuff. Cool. Cool. Like, pick up a trash can, throw it 5 miles, whatever.
We are in complete agreement.
Yeah.
I've read the first three, and it's like, and I agree with you on everything. The art is good, the writing is good.
And it teases every time that she's going to do it in the next issue.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? I think I'm done. I think I'm finally done. I
might read this issue just because I forgot to read it before, but it's like.
The bad part is, if I leave now.
Next issue, she'll tell me.
No, well, that too. If I leave now, when they get to the point where they do the soft reboot thing that they're talking about doing, or Generations happens, because that's been talked about a lot, where Bruce comes back and she's there, and Amadeus Cho is getting, like, teamed up. I guess, like, from what I saw in the thing, it's going to be kind of a team up of the old and new person.
Right.
So, but she's going to have to be there as a Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So do I have to wait until the end of Secret Empire? Or, because I guess that's going to lead into it.
I guess.
Or, do I get to see Hulk before that?
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to wait 8 more issues for this to happen. I want it now. I wanted it 2 issues ago.
I think what they're really doing by shooting themselves in the foot is this whole cover thing.
Yeah.
Like, starting with issue 1, where she's, like, all gray and crazy looking and, like, raging. That's what you expect.
Inner turmoil, Brian.
If they just freaking had the cover being her, like, walking down the street in her lawyer outfit, like, you'd kind of expect. You'd be like, well, that's what this is going to be about.
Right.
You might go into it with a different mindset, but every cover.
Although this cover is the most human it's been.
Right.
So I'm wondering
if
this is the turning point issue and the next issue will actually do it. I might flip through it and just look for her before I buy it this time.
Yeah.
But I'm done. I think I'm done buying that book specifically. Mm-hmm. It is really well written, though, which does suck because that's awesomely well written.
Yes.
I just don't like the story, and that's my problem.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. So, my second book is Invincible Iron Man number 5 by Bendis and Cassiele. So, this is still Riri.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same as Hulk, to be honest, for me. It's like, because I love Riri the character. I think she has a lot of potential.
But the story is so boring.
Yes. She's well designed. She's well written. But the story is boring as hell. And it's like, I mean, last issue she sort of did some stuff, but of course it had to be against the Techno Golem, so she lost the armor. So she's like, it's almost as bad as, like, most superhero movies where, like, they're never in costume for like except for like 5 minutes of the movie.
Right.
It's like, just let her be Iron Man. And so it starts out with, like, this really nice thing where, like, her mom is, like, in the garage trying to talk to Iron Man. Like, she's like, "Hello, are you here, Riri?" And then she's like, she picks up, like, a glove, like a gauntlet.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Mr. Stark, are you there?" Like, puts it up like a phone. And she just kind of, like, starts talking about, like, how much she cares about the kid and how much she's scared because it's like, I can't smother her because then she'll run. But it's like, I'm so worried about her and she's so smart and she needs to do this stuff. And then she's like, after a while, she's like, "Yeah, there's no one in here, huh?" okay, this never happened. You know? And then so it's like, okay, they show what happened, and they beat the Techno Golem, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up, and S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, has to give Riri attitude. You know, and Pepper's trying to step, you know, defend her, and it's like, hey, the kid's doing good, but whatever. Is it Sharon Carter, looking really old in these books, is like, oh, you know, just throwing weight around and trying to be a bitch. And like...
Nice.
She is. She's just like constantly giving
throwing her weight around, trying to be a bitch, you know.
And
Sharon Carter, you slut. I mean,
yeah.
What?
And then, of course, what really ruins it at the end, like, I guess I shouldn't say, but it's just something so ridiculously stereotypical that they decide to do with the Tony Stark AI. And you're like, really?
To give him an accent?
No.
Oh.
It's much worse than that.
Did they give him a mullet?
No. That would be cool. Because he's talking with Friday.
Let me see.
Well, they don't do anything. They don't it's what his he
it's
decides.
What they're saying.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He,
you can
know,
tell me later.
It's funny because like he appears and then she appears Friday and she's like, "It's odd that you're doing this with no humans around. Like we don't need to have human form." And she's And he's like, "Oh, I've been thinking about stuff." And it's like, "I've come to the conclusion. I'm sure you have." You know, and it's like, and then Friday's like, what? And you're like, no, really? Okay, Mr. Matrix, whatever.
Well, then. Interesting.
So it's just like, can we please stop with all the heroes being, whatever.
I just wished Riri would have a good backstory instead of just, I'm a really smart person that built a suit.
Well, but she did lose people. Like, she lost her dad, like I think she lost her real dad when she was a baby, and then like the guy that adopted her and tried to help, like married her mom, I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but like regardless, like she cared about her father, and then she had her best friend, the only friend she had, and they both get killed at the picnic, almost like it's almost like Punisher style, where like these supervillains show up, something else, and it's Crossfire stuff, and like they both die, and she like and it's just her and her mom, and she goes like total like more invert. And that's when she decides to fight back and, like, I'm going to build a suit like Iron Man and stop this from ever happening to someone else. And it's like, so it's like, and it's not like.
I definitely
evil,
stopped
like,
reading
gonna,
before this happened.
So it's a good backstory.
I mean, it's still, it's slightly better. Makes me go, all right, so there's a catalyst eventually, but.
Yeah. It was only like was issue like, two or something. It wasn't that far in.
Anyway, yeah, I read issue one. I was like, yeah, don't care. So, all right, my next book, which is my middle like book. I'm going from the worst to best, in my opinion, for last week. Iron Fist 1, Ed Brisson, Mike Perkins. So, if you've watched the show, it's similar-ish to the idea of he's trying to get his chi back. So, he's basically like running around the world trying to get his chi back. Fighting a lot.
How Stella got her chi back.
Right? Wow. How Danny got his chi back. Hey. All right. So it's kind of cool, like, in the idea that he's like a man out of place. Mm-hmm. But it's weird that he can't just get his chi back to the right place because he's the freaking Iron Fist.
Right.
But it's also awesome to watch him beat the hell out of, like, gangs of people for giant bags of money and win. So at the end of this, like, a dude comes from some island and asks him to come and help him with the island. And he's the only guy that actually gives him, like, a run for his money when they fight. And they fight this bar and... And Danny's like, sure, I guess. And it's some weird island called Lu Shi, or Liao Shi. I don't speak any kind of Mandarin, so I don't know. But from a distance, it kind of looks like Nicole Bolas's head. So it's interesting. It's definitely like that kind of like fighty book. I'm intrigued enough to check out issue two, but I was never like a huge Iron Fist fan, so it's not high up on my priority list, but I'll at least give it a second issue. If you liked Iron Fist in the past, it's pretty similar to that kind of an idea, but basically from what I understand, there's going to be a lot of fighting in this, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, because I mean, God knows, like, I don't even know where he's been, like, in the Marvel Universe for the last 3 to 4 years. Yeah. Last I remember, he was on, like, an Avengers team. Oh, no, no, no. He's been training young Power Man for a while.
Yeah.
Like, the young Power Man dude. Mm-hmm. But then I don't know what happened during Secret War.
Yeah.
Like, since Secret War, I don't think he's been around anywhere. So, but it's pretty good. We'll talk about the show later.
Okay. So. All right. So, my third and final book, the one third I like the most, was Ghostbusters 101, written Imagine by that. Eric Burnham and art by Dan Schoeninger. So, I'm a big fan of the IDW Ghostbusters series. Like, pretty much from the beginning books, I have, like, all the trades. It's a lot of fun, especially with Dan's artwork. It fits so perfectly. It's like the de facto artwork for me.
Right.
So 101 comes off of the annual, or the Ghostbusters the International, and then the annual. In the annual, there was, like, a bunch of little stories. And it was, one of them was Janine's niece, some of her friends, had, like, a ghost problem. So they tried to get the Ghostbusters, but it was during a time when the Ghostbusters were away. So they steal a trap and go and try and take care of it themselves. And they do, but obviously they only have a trap, so they can't really, like, fight the ghost, and they're kind of running around. And what happens is, you know, the Ghostbusters kind of yell at them, but then it's like, well, if you want to learn about this, then you're going to learn about this. And, like, so she sets him up to have, like, little classes with Ray, who kind of, like, drones on, and that's part of the punishment, sort of. And this is after Ghostbusters International, where Egon was, like, vaporized and brought back. And it's been established, thanks to the Turtles crossover years ago, that the Ghostbusters have a working, if not 100% trustworthy, dimensional gate
that
they use. There's still stuff about it they don't understand, but they know it works.
Mm-hmm.
So on a investigation, they find this huge reservoir of positively charged slime underneath, like, this old amusement park, where a ghost is, like, who loved the park, died, and is, like, haunting it and trying to revive it. So they're doing all that. Meanwhile, I think as a repercussion of International, which is so ridiculous, and I think the reason they did it is part of the joke. It's, like, the organization called Peacock, PCOC. I can't remember there it is, Paranormal Contracts Oversight Commission, which is led by Walter Peck. From the first movie, he's basically the
Peckcock.
Yeah, he's like controlling them so that, like, they now have an ongoing contract with the city to take care of city stuff, and it's like, and then they do, like, city level things, and then they still are, you know, they charge people for the low level stuff.
Right.
So that's how they make money, and the city always gets precedent and all that stuff.
Right.
And he controls them so that they don't, like, just wreck things and all that.
Right.
So he gets this massive, ridiculously high bill, and it's like from the city because of all the stuff that happened, and it's like you have to pay this, you know. It's like we're gonna, like, shut them down, we're done letting you let them run rampant, and he's like, you know, and he hasn't let them run rampant. It's like they just can't do so much.
Right.
So one of the funny parts too is, like, he goes to see them and is talking to Peter and Janine, and, you know, actually the most of the team, saying, like, you guys screwed up, this is, you know, this is gonna be ruining everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter throws out this thing. He's like, look, what about her? What about Janine's niece and their friends down there? And she's like, oh, you're not, you know, we're not actually going to make them bust, kid. They're kids. And he's like, that's not where I was going. I meant we could charge them. We could charge for that kind of thing. Like a Ghostbusters camp. Like people just come in. We treat them for a day. Give them the low-grade packs to play with and shoot around in a controlled environment.
Right.
You know. And then they pay through the, you know, through the nose, and it's like the real ghostbusting experience. And, like, you know, we set up an ionized glass playground, let them zap some stuff, you know, maybe get them slimed, if the, you know, blah, blah, blah. We'll make a ton of money. And the best part is, like, Walter Peck's there with his hand on his chin. He's like, this is actually an intriguing line of thought, Mr. Venkman. Tell me more, you know. And so, like, that's where they're going to take 101, like, training.
That's kind of cool.
While they're having that discussion upstairs, Kylie, who is Ray's assistant from the book occult bookstore, who is now essentially a part of the main team,
right?
Is talking, takes them, like, after all that lecture, it's like, here, you want to see something cool? And she shows them the dimensional portal,
right?
And which is going to have, like, ramifications, because one of the things they found out is that having the portal open for too long, because of the, you know, the scientific ionization of it, attracts ghosts.
Oh.
So they can't leave it open for too long. And one of the nice things about Dan's artwork is he always puts a lot of nods of, like, Back to the Future references in there.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's pressing some of the buttons, it looks like the flux capacitor and only super mini and, like, a button, and, like, it's got, like, the biohazard symbol,
yeah,
where, like, you know, in the thing where it was, like, when it's out of plutonium and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, a little reference there. And so like, but this whole comic has, like, three main parts. So that's the first part.
Okay.
And so they realize, like, she's showing them the portal. They're looking through it. And it's like, well, it's all just other New Yorks. Like, you can't go to other places.
Right.
But, you know, and we haven't cataloged everything. We don't exactly know what all the differences are. And they see, like, this little yellow ghost, like, heading straight for it. And she's like, oh, crap. And she, like, slams the shut button.
Right.
And they're like, okay, that's enough of this. She takes him out of there. Then you see the ghost, like, flying through where the door was. And then it gets blasted by Holtzman and Patty from the 2016 Ghostbusters movie.
What?
So they were looking into the girl Ghostbusters universe.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they didn't know it. And so, like, they're talking, and then it cuts back to the firehouse, their firehouse, and Aaron and, I can't remember the other one's name. But they're talking, and, like, she's getting readings that there's something big coming. Like, and they don't know what it is. Like, she doesn't understand what these readings mean, and something bad's coming. So, you know, the whole point is that Ghostbusters 101 is going to be a crossover where it's going to be girl Ghostbusters, core Ghostbusters, and then probably the new team that's going to be those kids that are starting to learn about it.
Right, right.
Are all going to have to face something huge, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's kind of cool.
The writing is always super solid, funny, smart. If you're any kind of Ghostbusters fan, I strongly suggest picking up any of them, really.
That's,
like,
awesome.
You don't have to, like, really... Reading from the beginning is fine, and it helps with some of the stories, but, like, Ghostbusters 101 is a jumping on point. They reference stuff, but it's not vital.
Right.
Ghostbusters International was a self-contained story arc that was good.
Right. No, that's awesome. Cool. I kind of dig it. My last book, which actually has been selling pretty well this week, and I've actually had a lot of people ask about it. We have some free rings as well for this book. It is Matt Kent and Thomas Giarello's Exo Manowar number one. So this book, I got to do a pre-reading of it at Comics Pro. This book should be in every single person's collection.
Okay.
For the art alone.
Really?
Oh my God, it's gorgeous. So basically, Exo has forsaken his suit, become a farmer on some random, like, planet, taking a wife, and just kind of is living the farmer life.
She's gonna die, isn't she?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, and every once in a while he goes out and talks to the suit and makes sure it's still there, because he basically just has it in a big hole. And
it puts the oil on its skin.
He still has a ring that controls it, right? So then you find out that, like, this army is trying to, like basically run all these people out of their farms and stuff. So they take him prisoner, and they eventually, like, you know, raid this castle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Exo is freaking Hook Hand Aquaman, except it's a grappling hook.
Wait, what?
He totally has Hook Hand Aquaman arm, okay, except it's a grappling hook. He has no hand.
Oh, okay.
But he shoots a grappling hook. It's amazing. Again, Hook Hand Aquaman. Sweet beard, everything. He's, you know, climbs this freaking castle, beats the hell out of everybody, cuts off people's heads. Like, oh, it's phenomenal. It's like brutal. It's feisty. It's like... determinate, like, you can feel his determination to, like, kick ass in this book. Like, the art is so perfect that, like, I cannot imagine reading this book with other artists. Although there will be other artists eventually, because it's like three
three book mini arcs.
Okay.
Per writer. But this is so good. I haven't talked to Ryan about how, like, if he likes it or not. But, like, it's just, it's war. It's, like, crazy, like, just death everywhere. Look, he's in the water. He's Hook Hand Aquaman. There's a shark behind him. Like, some kind of shark thing. He's beating the crap out of that. Like, it's nuts. Like, and they win the battle. And he's like talking to some of the guys about, you know, having to, you know, go back and have to do more war. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a space war with Exo being this just older dude. And it is so freaking good. Like, mm-hmm. So at the end of the issue, you know, obviously he's going to talk to the suit mm-hmm. again. But he's like, I'm not from your planet, but I will be part of this war. And like, this book exploded. Like, so good. So good. There's like 4 or 5 different covers you can get. And they're all awesome. So definitely go check it out, Exo Manowar. It puts the war in Manowar, I will tell you that. And like, because actually somebody, I stole that from someone. They mm-hmm. like, I'm in a Valiant retailer group, and they said, and Adam Freeman, who's like their marketing sales guy, said, I was asked to describe this book in 5 words, but before I tell you what I did, I want to hear from you guys. And I, like, I forget what I said. I put like 2 or 3 different things in there. One was like something like, you must own this book. And somebody put like, puts the war in Manowar. And I was like, it kind of works, because I think Manowar
counts as one word,
even though there's 2 hyphens in it. Okay. But the book's so good. It's like, imagine like if like Nova Corps or the Green Lantern Corps or if Iron Man could be in a fight that would be something you would see in a Nova book, but with actual violence and death and blood and awesome war and amazing art, that's what this book is.
Well, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Actually, I should say for the first issue, imagine Conan with a hook hand like Aquaman doing all of these things, because that's what it is. And I'm really excited because it kind of gives me a vibe of like John Carter, because he's like this man out of place and he's going to fight this war. But in the same rate, it's very much so traditional Exo. Mm-hmm. So go check it out. Like, come to the mills. Talk to Ryan about it. He'll talk to you for a while. It'll be great. All right. Some stuff coming out this week. This week, all of the DC Hanna-Barbera crossover annuals are coming out. So Adam Strange, Future Quest, a couple other things like that. All New X-Men 19. Back to the Future, Biff to the Future 3, Batgirl Annual 1, Balak Widow 12, Booster Gold and the Flintstones, Conan the Slayer 7, Dark Knight Master Race 8, Deadpool Mercs for Money 9, some designer series Harley Quinns, Divinity 3 Stalin Verse 4, which is also by Matt Kent, what? ElfQuest? It's still going? G.I. Joe, Real American Hero 238. Bunch of Grim Fairy Tales books, like every week.
Right.
Ghost Rider number 5.
Which is the last issue.
Right, which is weird, because I totally thought that book was at least going to make it 12 issues, but
nope.
Wow. Green Lantern and Space Ghost? Yeah.
That could be kind of cool.
I'm going to check that one out.
Who teamed up with Scooby-Doo, like Scooby Apocalypse?
It might be in here. It might be in next week.
Oh, okay.
I know the Suicide Squad's teamed up with the Banana Splits, though.
Oh, God.
Right? I'm super excited for that.
Yeah.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la. The first volume of Hillbilly is out this week as a graphic novel. Inhumans Prime 1, Infamous Iron Man 6, Inhumans Prime... Oh, never mind. It's the same book, different cover. Let's see. Gem and the Holograms 24. Jughead the Hunger. The Hunger. Go check it out. Get the Rob Hack cover, then bring it to Three Rivers and have him sign it.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for that book. I can't wait to read that. Jughead turns into a werewolf.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Oh, so this is from, like, this is the...
It's an afterlife universe thing. Yeah. Right. Karma Police.
He's going to eat people, isn't he?
I don't know, but it'd be kind of cool. Lady Castle 2, Man Thing 2, Mask 4, Mercy Sparks 2, Ninjak 25, Occupy Avengers 5, Old Man Logan 20, some sweet Dr. Seuss pops. Previews. Previews this week.
Oh, nice. Cool. I always love the previews.
Rick and Morty 24, ROM 8, Rough Riders, Riders in the Storm, number 2, Power Rangers original graphic novel exclusive. Interesting. Serenity, No More Verse 6, Spider-Woman 17, Thanos 5. I'm skipping around because there's like a lot of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mighty Captain Marvel 3, X-Files 12, Titans Annual 1. That might be it for the crossover funds. Oh, this is kind of cool. The X-Men Prime 1 Venomized variant. So X-Men Prime 1 comes out,
mm-hmm.
but the Venomized, all the Venom covers are this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're pretty cool. I was okay with the Gwenpool one, or the Spider-Gwen one.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. I thought it looked cool, but I'm just like, I don't really care about these crazy...
Wait, Gwenpool or Spider-Gwen?
Oh, Spider-Gwen, sorry.
Yeah,
Spider-Gwen
I didn't like, because it was like...
It was very Venom.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's so bland. Like you could only tell it's her at the very bottom with the pink around the hood and, like, the teeth.
Right.
And, like, when I was... Because I looked them all, like, you can just go and, like, see all of them listed, like, big, large pictures.
Right.
And so the first time I'm scrolling through, it's slowly coming up, and I'm like... Because, like, you see her knees, and it's, like, they're weird and dangly. Like, is that a ball sack? What is that?
Or boobs?
Yeah.
No, yeah, the first time I saw it, I thought it was boobs.
Oh.
It was weird. But, anyway, it was
the
awkward.
The X-23 cover is really awesome.
Yeah. There are some really good ones.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's talk about Iron Fist. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Because our last one was, what, 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Iron Fist came out in between. So, I binged it, like, within the first 2 days.
Oh, sure.
Because it came out on St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched like the first four. I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like 3:30 in the morning and it had premiered at 3 a.m. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch some Iron Fist. So I'm watching Iron Fist and it was pretty cool. I watched like 4 episodes and I finally was like, all right, time to go back to bed. So I went back to bed and then I went to work. And then the next day I watched the rest of it. So I don't think it was bad for the idea of the character, because it was like, you know, Danny Rand comes back, blah, 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 whatever. I think where it fell short is the fact that the dude, Jones, who played Danny Rand?
Don't know.
So my problem with that, his character is, he's all like, oh, I spent like the last 15 years, like studying martial arts and learning to control myself and learning to control my emotions, blah, blah, blah. And then just loses his shit all the time. And he's just like, he can't control himself. And like, part of me's like, well, maybe it's, you know, because you lost everything in your life and you're coming back to this thing and, you know, you need to adjust. Maybe, maybe. But then it just kind of gets annoying because it doesn't get any better.
To like the
last 3 episodes.
Okay.
Like the first 2 episodes were pretty good, and the last like 5 episodes were pretty good. But in the middle, it was like really awkward for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the supporting cast grew exponentially in those episodes.
Okay,
because like Colleen Wing, who's Daughter of the Dragon, and if you read like Shadowland and stuff like that, she's daughter like her and. Misty Knight become Daughters of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole book with them.
Yeah.
So, there's parts of the book, or there's parts that they actually take from Shadowland and use in this book, or in this show. because she leads, she ends up being part of this other pseudo hand sect.
Okay.
So it's, which in the book is called Nail, but they don't call it that in this.
Okay.
But they really like, they brought in some really cool things. Like, it was weird because it was like, in like corporate espionage meets hand ninjas. So it was like, both parts were kind of well done. Gao was back. Madame Gao was back from Daredevil.
Right, right.
But the thing is like, this is the origin thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get through that.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Daredevil season one is still my favorite of all of them. Mm-hmm. Because I thought it was the best, flowed the best, everything was great. Then probably Jessica Jones.
I was gonna ask you what your ranking was.
Then probably Daredevil season two, only by a little. Mm-hmm. And then I put Luke Cage and Iron Fist kind of on the same plateau. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they both, neither of their stories are very interesting, mm-hmm. but they had to introduce the characters to the people that didn't know them.
Right, sure.
So once these are over, I feel that they're going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. And next is Defenders, right?
Right, right. And they're going to bring everybody together. So it works on some aspects, but some it's just like, man, like, this is really drawn out for... Like, Luke Cage especially felt really drawn out in the second half. Mm-hmm. It was like, sweet, awesome, awesome, awesome. Cottonmouth dies. Boring. Just trying to wrap it up and kill six more episodes, guys. But Iron Fist, it's like, hey, we're going to set this thing up. It's going to be kind of cool for two episodes. And then it's just going to be like, other things are going to move in motion. Danny is going to be very much so the stagnant character the entire time to the very end. And then you're like, oh, look at that. That happened. But they bring in some cool characters. They bring in Davos, who ends up being, in the books, ends up being Silver Serpent, who's like the guy who can steal the chi from Iron Fist and the Matt Fraction Mortal Weapons run, I think, is where he came from. But I thought the guys that played the other family, I can't remember what they're called. But like Joy Ward and can't remember his name now. It's eluding me. Okay. But those guys, like that family, like the actors, I thought were very good because they kind of started off kind of like meh, and then by the end of it, you're just like, holy crap! but Gal got played out really well. But I think Colleen Wing, her character was probably the best, most fleshed out character in it. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we had the Night Nurse, Rosario Dawson's Night Nurse. And she kind of ties it all together.
Yeah, she's the consistent.
And it works. Like, they made it work, which is good. I just, you know, I thought it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. And that's all that needs to be to me.
Yeah, that's all it needs to be, exactly.
Right. But, like, all the people that were complaining about, like, whitewashing and all this stuff. And I'm like... Like, so this is the part that bothers me about all of that stuff, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not saying that it should have been. I'm not saying that it shouldn't. I'm saying this is a zero-win situation. Mm-hmm. Because you either say, oh, it was whitewashed, or you say, only Asians can know kung fu.
Right.
So it's like...
it's racist either way.
So it's stereotype mm-hmm. or whitewash. There's no win. There's zero win.
But here's the thing.
My thing is, the only reason I'm cool with it is because it's source material.
Well, right. But that's what I'm like. I follow a bunch of other artists on, like, different artists on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of them is actually Rob Liefeld.
Yeah.
And he's gone to bat for this multiple times, explaining that, like, he grew up on that genre. And that's one of his favorites.
Yeah.
And Marvel was completely... diverse at that point, because it was like the back then martial arts movies and like that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was huge, and it wasn't just one. It was like there was Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. There was Danny Rand, Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. There was a Hispanic one. There was like I think a black martial artist. There was four or five martial artist titles, and Shang-Chi was the most popular. So it wasn't about whitewashing. It was about, hey,
source
everyone,
material.
People,
right.
Like, at children growing up, love
right.
Kung Fu. That's why Ninja Turtles were so fun, because right. they like to jump around and be
They're
like...
They're freaking green!
Right.
Well, should we greenwash everyone?
Right.
Let's just greenwash them. It'll be fine.
And so it's like, so what that translates into is that little kids of all races want to grow up and learn that stuff. So that's what the comics represented is like, here's a white boy that grows up and learns martial arts.
Right.
Here's a Hispanic kid. Here's like,
right.
So it
also in the comics though, like he had ties to Kunlun. Like his dad was raised in Kunlun and then came back and built this thing. And then he was going back to it. In this one, they just had like he's the only one that actually ended up in Kunlun.
Oh, okay.
So had they done the original backstory, it'd been a little better, but like, yeah, Larry Hama like is going to bat for this movie all the time. He's like, dude, I worked on the book. Like, it was diversity, and it's true. Like, you know, like
they're
not
thinking this is like they think Iron Fist and it's martial arts, and they see a white guy, and they're seeing it the same way they see freaking Scarlett Johansson is in Ghost in the Shell. It's not the character.
That's
was
totally different.
White. Yes,
yeah.
The character was white.
Right.
They're not changing the race to appeal to people.
And like I said, like, I totally get both sides of the story.
Absolutely.
I do, but Shang-Chi is master of Kung Fu. He is a better martial artist than Iron Fist. If they change Shang-Chi, that's a problem.
Absolutely.
Iron Fist is just kind of lucks into the thing. So, meh. I just like it when people stick to source material.
Yep.
So, there you go. But I like it. I thought it was good. Check it out. It was not as bad as everybody said.
I've heard mixed. It's probably like from what I've seen, it's the least well received out of the Netflix series from Marvel. But it's not like it was trashed. It was just like, oh, it wasn't as good as Daredevil, or it wasn't good as this and that.
Yeah.
But it was okay. So like
I said, I put it on par with Luke Cage. Like Luke Cage to me just it was super good for the first like six episodes, and then the last half, as soon as they killed Cottonmouth, it just fell. It was just like just pulling it along. Just come on, guys. Got to kill six more episodes because we couldn't write a story long enough with one villain. But the other thing is, like, people have to remember these two guys, their books were not great when they came out because their stories were crap. Well, not crap. Their villains were not interesting.
Right.
So these are the same villains you're seeing in the show. They're very non-interesting, and they were only awesome. Really awesome. Like, the stories got so much better. Like, everything got better when they were together as a team.
Heroes for Hire.
So, when they do Defenders, I think it's going to be really good for both of those. I think if they can get the same energy that they did in the comics and the source material to translate to the show, it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. All right, so we got two trailers to talk about.
Okay.
The first one is Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not really excited to see this movie except to see how bad it is.
Okay.
Like, I want to see it because I want to see if it's going to be as bad as Batman Superman. Because I did not enjoy Batman Superman that much.
Right.
Like, I thought it was okay. It was entertaining. But I was like, man, this movie, the story sucks. But
I still haven't seen it because I had no desire.
Right.
Like that's where
it's okay though.
Yeah, that's where I'm sitting on it. It's like after seeing this new trailer, I'm vaguely interested.
Right.
I had no interest in Batman versus Superman. I had no interest in Suicide Squad. I have no interest in almost interest in Wonder Woman.
Is it bad that I'm interested for Aquaman?
That's what most people are. But it's like this trailer made it look fun.
Right.
I still can't believe they would put a trailer out that had that horrible CGI face of Cyborg.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? Why is that not just prosthetics on his actual face
and
CGing the costume on him like Iron Man? Why would you CG his face?
Right.
But that was horrible. And then everyone, the part that everyone loved is the part that I kind of like took away from the thing is the end with the goofiness with Aquaman on the Batmobile and like the joke. I'm like, that you had this trailer where it was pretty much all awesomeness, where it was like they're all being badass. And like getting ready for battle and like teaming up and standing next to each other. And Wonder Woman's like, shall we? Or whatever. It's like, okay, that kind of has like a little bit of a flair to it. That's cool. And then it's like, ooh, I'm on the Batmobile. Wee. And it's like, what?
I actually thought that was kind of cool. So,
well, most people did.
Like, I just thought it was cool that they're actually going to put some humor in it.
That's
totally was the part.
Right. My point
I was like,
you need to make that trailer. Like, most, it, like, because of the way they've done the DC movies. Mm-hmm. You don't expect it to have humor.
Right.
So it's like, and it's not going to be
the
like...
Oh, and the I'm Rich storyline, that was
that was fun. That was funny. That one totally hit perfectly in terms of tone. Because he wasn't like, it wasn't a goofy. It was like, I'm rich. Like, shut up. Don't ask me questions.
Right.
You know? And it was like, so that fit. It's just like, but and what they do is like, you know they always make multiple trailers in terms of, it's like the first couple trailers are for about the pure action. Mm-hmm. Half the time you don't even know what the story's about. And then it's like... Then it's like a little bit story. You start to see a villain or something, and then there's a humor trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a movie like Guardians, where it's like everyone knows, and then started with the first one. It's like it's pure fun. So it's like yes, there's action, but there's a ton of humor. So they're both shown from the beginning.
Right.
So that's why it's like putting that humor at the end is like that should have been saved for the slightly funny trailer, and just let this one be awesome.
I kind of think the opposite. I think if it would have been sprinkled through it to show show people that it's going to be a little more lighthearted.
Sure.
Like, but it needed to have it all the way through. Like, it could have started out with, like, I don't know. It could have just been better.
Well,
like,
you got to think of the time,
but the
though.
Whole
it's only thing, 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's true,
and
too.
They
it's
had to show
it's a teaser.
Well, no, it was a full trailer, but they had to show, if you look at the trailer, they had to show each person doing something awesome on their own.
Right.
It's like, first it's like, well, not first, but like Cyborg do with the car. Wonder Woman doing something. Flash speeding and smacking a parademon or whatever.
Right.
And then it's like, Batman at the end is like, now it's my turn. You know, it's like literally being my turn to show you cool stuff, and also in movie, my turn to kick your ass, you know?
Right. Which, like,
that was
I don't
almost
know.
A joke
like,
line, really.
Right, it was. I kind of dug it for the idea that it's going to be a lot of action, but then I also go, but it's all dark. Mm-hmm. Like, the CGI does not look good.
No.
Like, or maybe it's this first trailer, you know? Because, like, clean up Spider-Man in the home or in the Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
You know, from the Civil War trailer to the movie, he looked totally different.
Right.
So it was, to me, it was intriguing to kind of see Aquaman, which is cool. The Ezra Miller Flash is kind of growing on me a little bit. The more I see him, the more I'm like, okay, I can kind of buy you as a Barry Allen, you know. But I'm like, why do I get the feeling that Wonder Woman's not going to have like a big role in this movie?
Right.
And why has no one, like, why does Cyborg looks so freaking creepy half the time versus like he only does like one cool supery thing. Mm-hmm. But like you see the mother box, you know that it's going to be Parademon, so you know it's going to be Darkseid coming somehow.
Right.
So Cyborg is probably only in this movie to be the mother box so that they can actually bring the Parademons in and do that. Otherwise, I don't know why he's in this movie because it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I'm very, very curious to see it, to see how bad it is. I'm going to go into this with the lowest expectations ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because, like, I have to. Mm-hmm. After Batman Superman, I have to. Like they do not stand up to the Marvel movies at all.
No.
Now, if Wonder Woman ends up being amazing, then I may change my tune by this comes out. But in the same rate, it's not the same deal. But the other thing is, people have to remember the reason why it's so dark. Because a lot of people are complaining about how dark it is. I'm like, the reason it's so dark is to make the CGI look better.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do CGI with a daytime
sun,
it's not going to look good at all.
Yeah,
it's why even on the TV shows, most of the CGI is done at night.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Right, but it's like, I agree to that. The actual light levels are too dark in the trailer. But I still hate the darkness of the costumes. You can't, like, you have to really look to realize that Aquaman's costume is actually orange and green.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You cannot
also,
tell unless you know.
Also, what makes me mad is he doesn't have a trident, he's got a pendant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got 5 points on that thing. I'm like, that should be a trident or a bident.
Yeah.
Those are the. Like, depending on which version of Aquaman you really want, like, or Atlantean folklore or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
All right. I'm done talking about DC.
Okay.
So let's talk about Marvel / Sony. Right. So the trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming came out today.
Newest trailer, right?
The newest trailer. And we just watched it before this.
and I'm still on the fence.
Me too. That's very sad coming from a huge Spider-Man fan.
Yeah. I like the idea that they kind of made, like, his old school look, like, before he gets the suit, mm-hmm. kind of looks like Ben Reilly-ish.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Nice kind of a good throw there. Yeah. And you get to see a whole lot more Michael Keaton in this.
Yes.
And I love Michael Keaton. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that Iron Man being in this movie is either it's one of two things. It's either this movie cannot stand on its own legs and we had to put in Iron Man.
Right.
Or he's there just to really bring him into the full universe.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for the latter.
Sure.
But this is also the sixth Spider-Man movie in 15 years.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, 17 years, Batman, I guess. 2000, I think, was the first Spider-Man, right? 99, 2000?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So, 17 years.
Yeah.
17 years, there's been six Spider-Mans. Yeah, Batman, there's been seven. If you don't count Batman, Superman, which right. case it would be eight. Or, yeah, because,
yeah.
But I guess kind of, like, solo Batman movies,
yeah,
seven.
Yeah. So I agree solo. Completely in that it's, like, it's not where I just don't have the level of excitement I should.
Right.
And I don't like the fact that Iron Man is in it so much. Now,
right.
this still doesn't mean it could be, like, what we've seen could be it. It could be, like, a total of 15 yep. minutes of screen time. But it really feels like it's going to be a lot more than that. It's, like,
yeah.
And the way this trailer plays out, it seems like you have a better feel of the time frames of this. So it's yeah. like the way it looks now is that he has the new better suit in the beginning and then Iron Man takes it away when he says, like, you don't deserve that suit anymore.
Right.
And then he pulls the other one back out. And so, like, the second half of the movie is him in his old crappier costume.
Right.
And then he re-earns the original, like, the real one, which maybe I would love it if he finally, like, at the end, he's got a costume that he made and didn't take another one from Tony Stark. Oh, that would be bad.
Iron Spider.
Well.
No, yeah. no. It probably wouldn't be Iron Spider. But if they do a black costume, that'd be
well, that'd
funny
be
too.
Interesting, too. But I just, yeah, it's like, what gets me, and I was discussing it this morning, is that those couple scenes, especially the one where, you know, Tony confronts him after they save the ship, and he's like, you know, someone could have died. What are you doing? I'm just trying to be like you and all that. And I appreciate the I want you to be better line. That's nice. Mm-hmm. But they are making him a father figure when he's not supposed to be. Spider-Man, because if you go off the Civil War, I'm pretty sure he says he's had his powers for 6 months. Mm-hmm. That means if they're doing it right, Uncle Ben's been dead for like maybe 4 months, 3 months, like
could
6 months.
Even up to a year.
No.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. 6 months.
He gets the powers and his...
So, yeah, like, okay. So, like, 4 or 5 months, yeah.
So, Uncle Ben's barely been dead at this point.
Right.
You know?
And Aunt May's totally macking on Tony Stark at this
point. Right.
So, she's not totally over him.
Yeah.
Or Uncle Ben was a total douche.
Right. So, the point is that he is Spider-Man, and he learns power and responsibility from Uncle Ben, and the way he was raised for 15 to 16,
right.
17 years, however old he is in freshman high school.
Right.
And it's like... You're taking that away and trying to put it on Tony Stark.
Right.
Because they're trying to feed off of the relationship in Civil War where adult Peter Parker was like, hey, I really respect and admire your work and I'm a fan of you. This is an honor to be on your team,
right.
you know, Tony Stark. And they're taking that and twisting it into like a father role. And it's like, no.
Or mentorish, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like Tony Stark is not supposed to be the one that inspires Spider-Man to have power and responsibility. That was Uncle Ben. That's
right.
The whole crux of his
Well, I'm creation. Curious. I'm curious to see how they're going to play that. Are they going to play that as like what Tony's telling him is not what he actually believes and that he has to like deal with it and become his own man because he, you know, wants to be responsible? Or is Tony going to have the final say, which I don't think they are. I think it's going to be the other way.
I hope so.
But in the same right, like, exactly. It's like, you know what? We don't need to do the origin story. We'll just have Iron Man be Uncle Ben.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I'm still up in the air. I'll go see it because,
oh,
you know, yeah. duh. But
like, there's nothing about it. It's not like the other. It's not like Suicide Squad or something
right.
where I had no desire whatsoever. I want
right,
to see
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
There's parts of it that are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing that bugged me is that this time you finally hear him call his friend Ned.
Yeah.
When he slides up and he's like, can you control an army of spiders? And he's like, no, Ned, just no. what in the hell is Ned? His name is Gonki.
Right.
I can never pronounce. I don't know how to pronounce it. Gonki or Gonki. Mm. But you stole him directly from Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Yep.
At least keep the freaking name right.
Maybe that's his first or his first name.
I don't think
first name's Ned.
Ned.
No, his first name maybe.
I don't think his first name's Ned. No, it's like, you know what?
Hold on, I'm
gonna
look it up.
Something, and I'm like,
I'm gonna look it up.
Do it. Look it up right now. But I'm like, what are you doing? You know. But that annoyed me too. It's like, if you're gonna steal something from the other side, just leave it
right
the right way. But I mean,
you said it was Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah. Well, Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, the action looked great. You know, there was quips, which is so good. Like, they hardly do that in Spider-Man movies. But it's what sucks is it really still feels like a Sony Spider-Man.
It does.
Feel like
it
Marvel
definitely.
It doesn't feel like Marvel had enough influence on this.
I agree.
Like, other than shoving Iron Man in, it's like it's not looking like it's a true MCU, and that's what I think is why I'm not excited. Because it doesn't have that level of shine to it, that quality.
I agree.
But hey,
Morales,
you guys can,
Ultimate
like, if you disagree,
Spider-Man.
Let us know in, like, comments or whatever. Oh,
yeah.
Comment and, you know,
so,
chit-chat about
Gonki Lee. Gonki Lee.
Okay.
Gonki Lee?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
I think you're right. I think it would be Gonki Lee. There is no Ned.
No.
But he totally looks like him.
Yeah, right?
If that's him.
But I mean, the Lego aspect, like, Gonki is a huge Lego fan. It's talked about in the Miles stories a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
They joke about it.
Okay.
Because, like, whenever he starts to hit on, not hit on, but he, like, builds something, because it turns out that in that line, Ultimate Gwen Stacy kind of likes Legos. Like, they just kind of talk about it when they meet the first time. So whenever they're having an anniversary get together for Peter Parker's death to all,
right.
like, just mourn and talk, it's been a year or whatever, he builds her something that you don't ever see, but he gives it to her, and she's like, "You made this for me?" It's like, "Yeah, well, you said you liked the stuff," and I'm just like, "You made this for me?" And he's like, "Yeah," and so she kisses him, like, she gives him a kiss, thank you.
Aww.
And so, but, like, the whole joke is that, like, you know, what are you doing giving a gift to a girl? You don't even know her. You don't even talk to girls. You play with Legos, you know?
Right.
But
right.
He's like a genius level,
right,
16-year-old, same as Miles. So that's the joke. So when he drops the Death Star Lego, it's like, that is him. There
that's
is no
interesting.
Getting around it. You took
right.
it directly from
right.
Miles Morales.
So, all right. Well, that's about all we got. I guess we'll see you in like next week or two. So,
yep.
Stop out at the Mills on Saturday. Get some
cake.
Free cake.
And read some comics.
All right. Later.
Bye.